Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the rock upon which we stand. Amen. Let's pray as we consider the Word of God further today. Oh, gracious God, what a beautiful day. We thank you for it. We thank you for gathering us here. May we gladly, in faith, open our ears and minds and hearts to receive the wonderful gift of your Word, soon the sacrament. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, June 29th, roughly 67 A.D., was to be a glorious day in the city of Rome. Nero was the emperor. If you know anything about Emperor Nero, you know he was a madman. He was probably possessed by the devil. He was insane, we might say. Bloodthirsty for the blood of Christians. He hated Christians. It is said that Nero used to light his gardens at night with the burning bodies of Christians. And some historians suggest that Nero actually intentionally set the city of Rome on fire that he might blame it on the Christians to have a reason to persecute the Christians. Although we don't know if that's true or not. We do know he hated Christians. And we do know, I think, that June 29th, 67 AD roughly, was going to be a glorious day for Rome and Nero. Because Nero had two great Christians in jail. And he was going to murder both of them. And their names are Peter and Paul. We know that Peter and Paul both died in Rome. We don't know all the exact events, but church fathers tell us various things and we try to piece it together. He has both of them in jail. This is a great feather in his cap. I got the two great leaders of Christianity here in Rome. I'm going to kill them both. I will demoralize the Christian church, I will destroy the church, and I'll begin at the top with Peter and Paul. And so tradition tells us, we don't know if this is totally accurate, if it's the same day or not, but some historians say it's true, that on June 29th, roughly 67 AD, he kills both Peter and Paul. Peter, he takes into the city, hangs him on a cross for public view. Look at what Rome does to the church. We got their leader dying, and Peter in humility says, I'm not worthy to die as Jesus, hang me upside down. So they hang him upside down. Paul they take outside of the city. We'll get the outsiders out there also, give them a little moment to see a Christian die. And they take Paul, make him kneel, and cut off his head. We've won, he thinks. The glory of Rome. Don't mess with Rome. Or God's rule. So he thinks. Today, June 29, 2014, we recognize this is a glorious day for the church, not for Rome. What's Rome? Who's Nero? He burns in hell. And what continues is the Christian church and the gospel that Peter preached and Paul preached, given to us in Jesus. Today's a glorious day for Peter and Paul. Though they die, they live. And they sit at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. And they reign. A day of victory, a day of glory for Peter and Paul as they enter heaven. Glorious day for the church, June 29. What can we learn from St. Peter and St. Paul today we remember their martyrdoms? There are many sermons that one could preach on Peter and Paul. There's many sermons. They're very important in the New Testament, as we both know. I want to say one thing about Paul and one thing about Peter. How does God use a Christian is the theme. What does God really want to do with me on this earth? We're Christians, I pray, all of us. We're baptized, we believe, we have faith, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're children of God. That's who we are. Now, what does God really want to do with me on this earth? And Paul would teach us something in Peter of what the Almighty God wants to do with a Christian on this earth. We learn from Paul, let's start with him, that God wants to make us little. What does God want to do with you? He wants to make you little. He wants to shrink you, make you small. In other words, he wants to knock you down, humble you, make you little, so that he can live in you. And he'll be big in you. You'll be little, you'll be nothing, so that he's everything. You're little, so he's big. You're humble, so he's exalted in you. When people look at you, they don't see you. They see Jesus. And he draws people through your witness. But if you're in the way, And your big name's in the way, and your big ego's in the way, and you got to be popular, and you got to be rich, and you got to be famous. It's all about you. How's Jesus ever going to be seen in you? All people see is you. And you can't save a soul. Paul couldn't save a soul, and neither could Peter. So Christ must shrink us and make us little so that he'll be big. And people see us in all that we say and do, and they're drawn and they're saved. And all the people that were saved through St. Paul because God made them little. God humbled the man. You perhaps know the history of Paul. I'll go through it here quickly. In the book of Acts, we meet him. He's called Saul. That's important. Saul, the first king of the Old Testament, a very proud man. And that's Saul in the book of Acts. Saul is very, very proud. He's a big shot. He's got a big name, Saul. He's Saul of Tarsus. He is the head of the Jewish FBI. They are hunting down Christians, throwing Christians in prison, killing Christians. And he's the leader. He's a big shot. He's going places. He's a Pharisee. He's very learned, very smart, very zealous, very charismatic. If you looked at Saul of Tarsus, you said, that guy's going places. That's Saul of Tarsus. Wow, look at him. Big shot Saul. And then he meets Christ. And he becomes a little tot, Paul. You know the story in Acts 9. Christ appears as a great light to him on the road to Damascus. Paul's on a horse going to Damascus to arrest Christians. And Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul's knocked off his horse. He's blinded. He's led into the city by hand. The big guy on a horse now led like a little child by hand because he's blinded. Thinks probably God's going to kill him. But God's not interested in killing him. God wants to use him as his instrument. And so Saul is baptized. He's forgiven of all his wretchedness. That's the grace of God, the forgiveness of all Saul's sins. And now he is called Paul. And that's significant. Saul to Paul. Saul, proud king. You know what Paul means? Now don't laugh when you look at this Paul. You know what it means? Little. None of you laugh, thank you. Paul means small, it means little. And we don't know whether God gave him that name or God changed names at times or whether this was a name that Saul had, a Greek name he had. We do know that he's called Paul, which is significant because now he's the little one. No longer is he King Saul, proud, look at me. Now he's little Paul. Paul probably wants that. Call me the little one. I'm nothing. Christ is everything. I'm little. He's big. I'm not important. He's all important. And Christ continues to keep Paul small. Because St. Paul has a big ego. Like this Paul does and like all you have. Paul has a lot of pride, a lot of self-righteousness. He's a Pharisee after all. He's self-righteous as can be in and of himself. He wants to be a big shot. So he's still a sinner even though he's baptized. And so Christ ever shrinks him. And keeps him humble and little. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says that this is God shrinking him. 5 times he received 39 lashes from the Jews. 5 times the man's whipped. 3 times beaten with rods. He's stoned once. Normally you died when you got stoned, but by the grace of God he survived. 3 times he was in a shipwreck. He says, I had danger from rivers, from bandits, from Jews, from Gentiles in the city and the country, from false brothers, and he didn't get any sleep as he labored. What was God doing with Paul? We do know that in 2 Corinthians he continues talking about his thorn in the flesh, where he's given a thorn in the flesh, and this must have really hurt Paul because he asked God to take it away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power shows forth through your weakness. And Paul knows he is left with that thorn to keep him humble, to keep him little, that Christ might be big. What does God want to do with you? If you want a big name, you want to be popular, you want to be famous, that's not Christianity. That's called human pride. God would make you a nobody. God would make you little so that he be big. He would humble you so he's exalted in you. You're nothing. He's everything. That you would draw people to him and be saved. If Paul was still an egotistical, proud, arrogant man who didn't preach nothing but himself, he wouldn't have saved a soul. But think of the thousands and millions that have been saved through Paul's writings and preaching in the Bible because God made them little. and all the people that you can be a witness to and that can be saved through you if God makes you little. July 4th is called what? Independence Day. Rah, rah, America, the red, white, and blue. And we do thank God for our political freedom. It's better than being slaves to somebody. But we're part of a greater kingdom, folks. Much greater kingdom than America. We're part of the church, the kingdom of heaven. We're Christians. We have a perfect ruler named Jesus. And every day for the Christian is not called Independence Day. Every day is called Dependence Day. We are dependent people, we Christians. If we're ever independent, we go to hell. We depend on Jesus. We trust in Jesus. We bow before Jesus. We hold on to Jesus. That's what we do. Every day is Dependence Day. So have a blessed Dependence Day, July 4th, 3rd, 1st, and into August and everything else. I depend on Christ, trust in Christ, confess my sins to Christ, receive the absolution of Christ, eat Christ's body, drink Christ's blood, that Christ may live in me and I die, that He live and save many through me. God wants to make us little. It hurts to be made little. It's painful. We don't like it. But we praise God for it. Peter. One thing about Peter we learn is that God wants to make us tough. Are you tough? Or are you a wimp? Really? Talking Christianity. God wants to make us tough. Us softies. And we see that in Peter. Peter on Monday, Thursday is a wimp. He's not a rock, he's a sock. You know what Peter means? God gave him, that Jesus gave him the name Peter. Peter means rock. So he changes Saul to Paul, little. He changes Simon to Peter, rock. I'm going to make you a rock. But Peter on Monday, Thursday is a sock. He's soft. He's wimpy. He denies the Lord how many times? 3 times. He denies Jesus. We all do that. We all sin. But then Easter comes. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peace be with you, Peter." Shows him his hands and side. He says to Peter, "You're forgiven of your sins. You're at peace with God. I don't hold it against you, Peter. I died for your sins. I don't remember it, Peter. Don't remember that you denied me. You're forgiven, Peter. You're washed." And then he gives Peter the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And Peter is a new man by the power of forgiveness in the Spirit. He is a rock. He boldly preaches. He's fearless. He's strong. He's hardened in a good way. You see, the softness of God, the mercy of God, the softness of God is here to make us hard on the outside, but soft on the inside. Our challenge as Christians is this. To keep a soft heart as God's heart is soft. That means to be merciful, to be compassionate, to care, to have our heart break over the sins and sufferings of people. We care, we love, loving our enemies. We keep a soft. If we ever get bitter and angry and have a hard heart, oh, we're in trouble. So God's mercy would keep my heart soft, but God's mercy also would make me have a thick skin. I'm tough on the outside. Though you hate me, doesn't bother me because I'm loved by God. So hate me, world. Though you mock me, doesn't bother me. It bounces right off this rock because I have the mercy of Jesus at the cross. Though I'm persecuted, doesn't bother me. Bounces right off on my rock because I'm at peace with God and I have paradise. I'm going to walk on gold streets. So bring it on, world. Bring it on, devil. I'll face anything because God is for me, not against me. Christ is with me. I face all of hell and go through the gates of hell with Him. We're often way too wimpy. We're way too soft. We get persecuted, mocked. I'll just be quiet. People don't like me. I'm a Christian. It's time to stand up for your Lord and be a rock of faith and a rock of boldness and stand on the truth like Peter, all by this power of the Spirit. You know what happens to Peter? Again, we don't know if this is all true, but it's pretty strong tradition this is true. Well, Peter, we do know, dies in Rome. There's strong, strong tradition on that, as well as Paul has mentioned, June 29th, perhaps they both died under Nero. But it is taught by some historians, some church fathers, that Peter was in a dungeon for 9 months in Rome. Nero had him in the worst dungeon in Rome for 9 months. It was under the ground, no light, a dungeon. Rocks above you, rocks on the side of you, you're on rocks, a dungeon. And he had Peter for 9 months chained. And he was chained in such a way that he could not sit or lie down. He had to stand chained, torturing him. Why? To try to get him to recant. Peter denied the Lord back. He'll deny him again if I torture him enough. And if Nero could get Peter to recant, oh, what a feather in his cap. I got the leader of Christianity to recant. And then maybe Paul too, where we can't. And oh, I've got Christianity by the neck. If their leaders recant and deny Christ. But what did Peter do standing for 9 months in torture and darkness? In that darkness, he's the light. And there's rocks all around him, but he's the real rock in that dungeon. You know what he does? He preaches the gospel to the jailers and anybody around. And church fathers tell us an exact number of people he converts. Whether this is true or not, I don't know that it's an exact number. You know what it is? 57 people he converts, they say, as he's in jail. And Nero gets so mad, he can't break Peter, he can't break the rock. He gets so mad, finally, after 9 months, take him out and kill him on June 29th along with Paul. Because him being in jail is worse than being out of jail. He's saving people while he's in jail. And you think you got problems. Look at Peter and Paul and what they went through. And they encourage us. If by the Spirit of God and the Word and the Gospel, they kept the faith, by the Spirit of God, by the Gospel, I will keep the faith and be a little rock for my Lord. I'll end with the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the words of Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You sure did, Peter. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine, although in the word tough. These have come, these trials have come, that your faith may be proved tough. You're a rock. And may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. We thank and praise God for what He did through Peter, through Paul. May God make us little like Paul and a rock like Peter. And the church says, Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.